seated. Thank you for your kindness. I appreciate that. Great job, orchestra. Fantastic job on the song. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go. I am very grateful for the opportunity to be with you this morning on this final chapel service. And it's always makes you a little more melancholy whenever you are old like me. And you guys come in, and I remember Ethel coming in. She was shaking like this, coming in there, and now she's the queen of the campus, you know. And so many, and then even our senior class, that several of them, I remember standing out on front on opening day when they were freshmen, and to watch them come in, and now to watch them go off into the ministry. And I'm very grateful for your investment and the partnership with your pastors and your parents, and thank you for honoring the Lord. And never stop doing that. This is a commencement. It's a beginning. It's not an end. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I'll say it again because I think it's important. A degree does not give you an education. Just because you have a piece of paper that says you finished something does not mean you know what you're doing. It gives you an opportunity to begin to learn and to develop other skills. College cannot give you all your doctrinal requirements, and there's many of you, you're still struggling on that, and you'll need to study to show yourself approved unto God. I want to work, I want to get you to a place with the Lord's help as a college so you're not enamored with false doctrine. You'll keep your doctrine clean. You'll understand what you believe and why you believe it, and you're not going to be easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and like a little child that believes everything. You need to know. And there are a lot of doting questions that are asked that are just to generate strife and contention and arguments about the law. The Bible tells us in the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, and it says, look, avoid them. They're vain. It's empty. Don't do it. But do learn what you believe. I was really blessed to see a young man yesterday, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to begin taking the summer and go through the doctrines of the Bible and see and study the statement of faith of our church and begin to study what it says and what it means. And I think that's great, a great exercise. If you can disciple people, nothing quite teaches you like discipling someone else. Whoever does the teaching does the learning. And I think this is a very important walk with God. Be a producer. Win and disciple other people. Minister to others. Develop leaders in your church and wherever you go in the summertime. If you're at a camp, listen, don't just watch the world go by. Don't just get caught up and find out which person you want to get to know at camp. Find out, how can I be a blessing to people? How can I help those that are there at your youth group? Same thing. Don't just go there and sit and soak and sour in your church this summer. Don't sit in the back with dressed casually if you're going to be dressed up and be a good testimony. Go around before service, greet, make yourself a welcoming committee of one. Write a note to your pastor. Write a note to his wife and let him know that they matter to God. They matter to the work of the Lord. They matter to you. Do something every day to encourage somebody. Be a good testimony. Don't let your guard down. Be an example to believers. Elevate. You know, there are things you could do as a high school student. If you go back this summer, it's just not acceptable. You're farther down the road of life. You're representing now much more than just yourself, much more than your parents. You're the one that people say, that young lady's been off to college. That young man's a man of God. He's growing the Lord. I can see. They ought to be able to see you and say, good night in the morning, this guy has really grown. He's not the same little jerk he was in high school. He's not the smart mouth. He doesn't just blab everything he feels or says. He's different. You can tell there's been some maturity and appreciation. Be a good example. Treat people right. Make sure you're good at working with people. Don't be someone that causes drama. Be someone that can bring something to the table that people appreciate. And they'll appreciate the way you conduct yourself with the older men, older women. They'll appreciate the way you conduct yourself with your own senior family members, your pastor, and then others as well. And then handle finances with wisdom. On this last chapter, I'd like to direct your attention to Genesis chapter 45. I want to read just a few verses and then make some applications. And I'll do my best to, I think we can be out of here at the 12 o'clock hour. In chapter 45 of Genesis, it's when Joseph, in chapter 45, verse 1, he reveals that he's Joseph. Up until this time, it's a hide-and-go-seek. They can't figure out who this guy is. How does he know him? He puts them in order. He sets them from the oldest to the youngest, does not miss a single thing. They're just confused. When they serves everybody else, he serves Benjamin with more food than the rest of them get. They're really puzzled. Why is he so cruel? Why is he so mean? Why does he speak so harshly? Yet he gives us what we need. And the cup being in the sack. I mean, you can't find drama any more than the book of Genesis and the story of Joseph. It's unbelievable. Knock your socks off. It's amazing how much drama God puts. You couldn't write something any more suspenseful than that particular story. So this guy is speaking to them in Egyptian tongue and through a translator, and he understands what they're saying. They don't understand what he's saying, and he says, "You're a bunch of spies." He detains their brother Simeon, sends it, "Is your dad alive?" He's asking very personal questions. "Do you have another brother?" "Yeah, we have one more." And he knows why he's asking. They can't figure it out. And they said, "If you come back, don't come back unless you bring your little brother." And like, "Ah, you're kidding me. Dad's gonna die." When he finds that. But they do come back, and Benjamin gets this huge plate of all the food, and everybody's lined up, and they're just scratching their head. And then the moment comes, and he said, "Joseph." And they just do not have words. Their mind, have you ever been stunned by something, and you're just like, "Blah, blah, blah." Well, they're like, "No, no." Because they'd already been eaten up with guilt when they had such harsh thing happen, and said, "Oh, it's because we did this against Joseph." They already figured all. They knew they were getting dealt with harshly because of their own sin. The chickens had come home to roost in their own heart. But now they're like, "No, this probably he's bald headed. He's probably got his head shaved like the Pharaohs of the day, and they don't know who he is." And now they're like. Now he starts speaking to them in their Hebrew tongue, and like, "Man, he is our brother." And everybody, all the Egyptians are out, they're wailing, and he goes around and he hugs Benjamin, he kisses him, and Benjamin equally, like, "I can't believe this." And he goes to each of his brothers, from Reuben to Judah to Simeon to Asher to Dan, and all of them, he hugs each of them, he kisses them, but they're back on their heels. And he says, "You know, not only am I alive, but I want you to go get Dad. I want you to live here. We're in the second year of a 7-year famine." He said, "There's going to be two. We're in 2 years. There's 5 more years of this. But we're good because I know what's going on. God already gave it to me. And what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God has allowed me to preserve our country, our people, my dad, you, your kids. I'm ready for you. Go to Goshen. You can go there. It's a good part. And your shepherds, make sure you tell Pharaoh you're a shepherd, because they don't like shepherds. They're abomination, but you're with me. They like you because of me. And we'll give you a good place. You'll have everything you need. And go get Dad." But their dad has been grieving for all these years. He refused to be comforted. So it's a crazy scenario. But he says, "Now, I'm going to give you all these donkeys. I'm going to load them down with stuff. I'm going to send some wagons. I don't want Dad to have a hard time coming back. Put him on a chariot. Put him on a wagon. Get him comfortable and bring him back to Egypt. Go get him." And when Dad saw the wagons, he knew that Joseph was alive. And it's kind of a crazy thing because it's similar to our Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is a type of Jesus in our Bible. And when you see Joseph, you'll see, because number one, he's alive, and Jesus is alive. Number two, he says, "You tell him." They said, when they went back and told Dad, they said, "Dad, not only is he alive, he's the Lord of Egypt." he's the governor. I mean, the guy is like, he's made Pharaoh, he's made Joseph like a father to Pharaoh. So not only is he alive, but he's the Lord. Number three, he's not mad with us. He loves us. He loves us. He longs for us to go here. And boy, they were telling Dad. They wanted to come and say, Dad, number one, he's alive. Joseph is alive. Number two, he's Lord. Number three, he loves us. Number four, he longs for us to be there. By the way, everything I just said can be compared to Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He loves you. He's waiting to come and get us and bring us to where he is, a place where he can provide everything for us. And I can't help, I bet one of them said, he's loaded. He's got everything, man. This guy is just, in my father's house are many, but we're not so loaded to you. He's loaded. He's got everything we're going to need for our stay. He's taking care of everything. He's loaded. Well, they send him back. Let me just real quickly direct your attention to verse number 22. For all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. So he's definitely learned some partiality from his parents and his great-grandparents. And to his father, he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for the father by the way. He says he's going to give them these. He gave 20 donkeys, and some of them have food, some of them have treasures. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, would you read the rest of the verse with me? We're talking about the rest of verse number 24. You ready? See that ye. Can you read it one more time? And they went up out of Egypt, and they came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And he told them, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor, he's Lord, over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed him not. And they told him all the words of Joseph. By the way, aren't you glad you have the words of Jesus? Which he had said unto them, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Father, please help me as we just share a few thoughts about see that ye fall not out by the way. We want everybody to make it. We want all of us all the way. The devil is gunning. He wants to get us out of the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. You tell us you want to lead us in the right way. And I need your help. I want to just encourage my young friends and help them as they branch out after a very busy season of their life. And we want them to enjoy rest, to recoup, to be revived, to be refreshed. We don't want them fall out by the way. I pray you please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. In the time that we get to spend together, it's just without words. I speak for a living, but I don't think I have the words to say how much you mean to me, to this faculty, to the staff, to this ministry. You are, we dream of what you'll be, how you'll be able to be used of God. I spoke to a man yesterday. There are two major cities in our country that need what you are. And he's saying, could you give me two? Could you recommend two men that could go with their wives that would follow them and help them? We believe God's got a plan for this particular community. I hear pastors all the time. I've got multiple emails. We've got a church of 75 people. We're in a farming community, but God has blessed us. We can support a pastor. Would you please consider, do you have someone who has maturity that would know, and they almost say what 1 Timothy principles are? Are they doctrinally sound? Do they walk with God? Are they a reproducer? Do they have a good testimony? Will they treat us right? Will they manage finances with wisdom? These are the things they're looking for, what they need. But I will tell you this, as much as I get excited about all of that, I get very grieved when I see people fall out by the way. And Joseph, he said to his brothers, get out there and get Dad, but be sure that you do not fall out by the way. Don't get distracted. Don't go this way or that way. Stay on the beaten path. Ask for the plain path. Ask for the old path, that beaten path, and don't get out of the way. Boy, if there's ever voices, there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of flashing billboards off the high road of holiness to tell you, come over here, exit here. It's like, can you go down these highways? They have these filthy strip club advertisements, and they're all trying to get you to get off and exit. Every young man, every trucker, every wayward, wicked, perverted man to get off. Equally, the devil has plenty of others of those too, flashing and saying, exit here, get out of the way. And especially when you're in this stage of your life, when God has already appointed you and called you not only to salvation but to service, the devil is trying to do all he can do to continue to get you off the beaten path, to get you distracted, to get you waving over here, hey, exit, get out of the way. And Joseph said, don't get out of the way. Don't take an exit. Get in there. Get Dad. Get back. Go do what I ask you to do. I'd like to just use that analogy, and I want to ask to just share a few things with you that I think can get you out of the way. Number one, free time. You need a rest. You need refreshment. You need reviving. This has been a tough year, a challenging time. And you need to rest, but you need to be careful about idleness. Remember when David saw Bathsheba? At a time when kings went off to war, he abode still in Jerusalem. When he should have been out engaged in the battlefield, he sends around the top of his thing and sees what he shouldn't see and contemplates what he shouldn't contemplate. And one thing led to another, and he became an adulterer and a murderer and a liar and a deceiver. And he paid out the nose the rest of his life, all because of idleness. Listen, be careful about free time. Be careful about that. Listen, the Bible tells us young men to be sober, young women to be sober. That doesn't mean not drunk necessarily. It means with purpose. You ought to decide, you know what, my summer days are going to be filled with purpose. I think it's good. Sometimes you need to rest and you need to sleep till you wake up. But not all the time. You don't need to do that 5 days a week. Well, I get home at 12 at night. Well, stop staying up till 2:30 in the morning. Get home, shower, get to bed, and get up at a reasonable time and have something to do. Have a plan. Watch out for free times. Pastor, what do you mean? This is what I need. You need some rest, need some relaxation, but I'm encouraging you, be careful, because nothing can quite get you out of the way like free time. Idleness. When said, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And oftentimes you'll find yourself goofing around your phone, your tablet, the television, and things will start popping up, and you think you're doing things anonymously, that the eyes of the Lord, or the ways of man before the eyes already pondereth all his goings. A lot of times, because you're by yourself and you think no one's going to watch you, that's why you want to make sure that you stay in the Word of God, you hear the Word of God, and you return God's tithe. I think in those things you learn the fear of the Lord. Then you elevate your behavior. Then you're more careful with what you do. The Bible tells us, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you know God's with you, you'll depart from those things. Run away. Don't be a coward when it comes to sin and temptation. Excuse me, be a coward. Don't be brave. Flee. Deliver me from that stuff. Don't let me flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. Get away from it. Watch out for free time, because it'll get you out of the way. He said, I want you to see that you fall not out by the way. Another thing that can get men and women out of the way is bad friends. Friends are valuable and needed. But boy, you got to be careful. There's just too many warnings in the Bible. Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he said, Be not deceived. Don't kid yourself. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul said to the church of Galatia, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? And Amnon had a friend. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be. You don't want to be there. You got to keep good friends and you got to be careful, but bad friends. And a lot of things, I talked to a young man today and he got in trouble when he was young. And just one weekend of his life exposed him to more sin than he had ever seen prior to from bad friends. They got him with the wrong kind of people. They intoxicated him. They got him seeing things. And here he was, just a 14, 15-year-old boy, one weekend, and he still is scarred, having nightmares because of bad friends that got him out of the way. Now, where there's more grace in God than there is sin in us, but let's don't frustrate the grace of God. Let's watch out for free time. Let's watch out for questionable friends. And you know who I'm talking about. Some of your friends are not terrible, but when you and them get together, they have a negative effect on you. Avoid them like a bubonic plague. Consider that they have COVID positive. Stay away. Say, you know what? I can't take it. And a lot of them, they have been going through. You can tell. You can tell by their social media texts. You can see their posts. You know where they're going. And direction determines destiny. Don't think you're going to be able to rope them all the way around. You're going to spend so much time with them, and you're going to do this, and you're going to pull them in. Now, I'm not opposed to converting a brother from the error of his ways. But you better realize that cannot be your sole summertime thing to get somebody out of whack, because they will change you. It's like taking a white coat and rubbing it up against a grease monkey and trying to get him clean. What happens? You get dirty. You can't not lay with dogs and not get fleas. You start going in there and trying to get someone else clean. He said, the thing about Christianity, it keeps yourself unspotted from the world. So don't let free time, don't let friends get you out of the way. Another thought I want to give to you is don't let foolish questions get you out of the way. Titus chapter 3, verse 9, I would encourage you to write it down. But it talks about avoid foolish questions that are contentious and generate strife rather than godly edifying, and avoid these things. Young people, you have far more, the devil has far more in his arsenal on your phone. And I didn't have a phone when I was a kid. I didn't hold a phone in my hand until I was 32 years old, a cell phone. So I went through my college days without the social media. I still don't understand what's going on social media. It discourages me when I see my friends and other people doing things and dressing ways and going places, and just most of it, I feel like I can't handle it. It's too discouraging. And I want to encourage you to be very careful about that. But I would say that you need to be careful about the doting questions that generate strife. Somebody out there just want to ask you a dumb question. They want to ask you some things, and what do you know about that? I remember when I was in college, I had a couple guys who just they all they meditated on is the questionable. Have you read this? Have you read this? Let me get this to you. And I say, that's okay. No, have you read it? I'll get it to you. They're really pushing me. Read this. Nowadays, they often send it to my phone. Hey, I think you need to see this. You need to see this. And when I start reading the first few lines, I don't want to see that. God tells me to be wise to those things which are good and simple to those things which are evil. And you cannot help but speak of the things which you've seen and heard. Be careful about foolish questions. They'll get you out of the way. They'll get you arguing about things that won't matter and will not get you to win someone to Christ, disciple somebody, help somebody grow. You'll get caught up in some kind of a stupid argument, chat room, and things of that nature over dumb questions. And I just say, I know that some may frustrate this, but I'm going to say it again. Don't get bored with basic truth. Don't get bored with being sold out to the Lord, walking with God, the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, everybody's trying to find new stuff, new things. And I don't know. I understand that this is a world that's different. But I'm telling you, I think the same biblical principles will work now as they worked back then. The Bible tells us if we'll put the brethren in remembrance of these things, we'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words and faith and doctrine which you have fully attained. That means live it out and give it out. Don't be afraid to repeat the obvious. It's the obvious that many people have forgotten. Don't be afraid to study the obvious. Listen, if you young people, you get all these questions about so many things, about versions of the Bible, about this, about Calvinism, about hyper-dispensationalism and things of that nature. You know what you might want to do is make sure you know 5 verses that prove the eternal security of the believer. Well, you don't know? Nothing frustrates me more than go to an ordination service for a man of God who wants to go pastor a church someplace, and they can't give me 3 verses on eternal security. You can't give me 3 verses on why someone should get baptized in the Bible, and where could I go? They're concordance cripples. I'm so nervous. You know, come on, man. But here's what happens. You start discipling someone, you start studying to show yourself approved to God, you can see these basic things. Well, some of you guys take that book that Brother Piper gave us, Establishing the Faith, go through it page by page. Look up every verse that's in there. Apply it. Underline some things that would help you on that. Deepen that. Then the dumb questions like, I am not going to, there's no way I'm going to go. That's just like asking, did Adam have a belly button? Who gives a rip, you know? Why am I going to get caught up in that, you know? When I can get caught up in doing something that's very important. Don't get caught up in foolish questions. They sidetrack you and they get us out of the way. I want to say another thing, and I'll close here, 2 thoughts. Don't get caught up in finances. Chasing them or being irresponsible with them. So many young people, you get an eye for gold. We're like Laban in the Old Testament. Boy, he sees the gold, and he got an angle, and every angle leads to how can I get more? How can I have more? And In every stage of life, you're going to be at different stages. But I'll tell you this, if you'll learn to work diligently, associate carefully, live simply, and give generously, you're going to find that's a life God will bless. And understand when enough is enough. Learn to give. Learn to be a funnel, not a bucket. You're going to find that finances has gotten a lot of people out of the way. Some, they've just gone and they've been irresponsible. They haven't honored the Lord. They haven't honored hard work. They haven't honored good friends. They haven't honored simplistic living. And they get out of the way. Other folks, they start chasing it. Everything is about the next vacation, the next home, the next thing, the next dollar bill. And you're going to find out pretty quick that money is not meant to satisfy. It's a wonderful slave. It's a terrible master. Let it be your servant. And all money belongs to God. Everything you have, everything I have, God gives it to us. We ought to ask that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this? And you'll be amazed. God will give through you, but he'll not give to you if you'll learn those things. Don't get sidetracked. This summer, I hope you'll make a lot of money for those of you who are working. But don't make that your goal. Don't say, I'm just doing so good. I just can't leave this. I may go back to college later. I'll do something online. Well, let me encourage you. If you're supposed to be back, be back. Don't chase the dollar bill. It's like chasing your shadow. You'll never catch it. Turn around and chase the light. Your shadow will follow you. All these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. All these things should be added to you. Then lastly, I would say, make sure that you don't get out of the way because of fornication. I wish I didn't have to say that word. It's a Bible word. But I don't know if there's ever been a generation more challenged in this way. Anyone who has a bigger target on them to be immoral than your generation. And it's a burden. It's terrible. The devil wants you to see things and be involved with things and do things in your young years that will hurt you. Will cause complications. I was on the phone with a gentleman and he's like, man, Pastor, I just such an idiot. I didn't know what it would cost me so much when I'm 48, what I did when I was 28. I did not know all the things that have come. The Bible tells us to flee fornication. Get away from it. He says, keep thyself pure. You got to walk with God yourself. You got to play your family role for yourself, and you got to be pure for yourself. Young people, stay in the way. Stay in the way. See to it that you do not fall out of the way because of any of these things or other things that may come to your mind. Maybe I've listed something that doesn't even pertain to you. Maybe there's something else that would say, that's what would get me out of the way. That's what blinks in my billboard. That's what's waving at me all the time. Whatever it is, don't let friends do it. Don't let free time do it. Don't let FaceTime do it. Don't let social media do it. Don't let foolish questions do it. Don't let finances do it. And don't let fornication do it. Nothing puts you on the side road of life watching the world go by quite like immorality. I plead with you. If it's offending you, deal with it. Don't try to resist it. Avoid it. Girl, if a guy is trying to tell you it's okay and he's read the Bible and it's not wrong, okay, get away from that clown. Okay? And we're going to be married anyway. You know, I love you forever. It's just what we do. It's, you know, I know how everybody feels, but I've been looking at the scriptures and I just don't. Get away from that clown. Okay? Don't listen to the smooth. And some of you girls, you yearn for attention. You yearn for love and affection. It's coming to you and will come to you in God's time. But if you let some clown talk to you like that and get you into compromising situations, you'll kick yourself 1,000 times. And it's just, and he'll drop you like a hot potato. Don't do it. Young man, be pure. Love and care enough about, if you have someone in your future, care enough about them to give them the best thing you can give them on your wedding day, and that's personal purity. It'll save you a lot of counseling, save you a lot of problems, and it'll give you a heart that's clean. You got a problem with your pornography, you got a problem with your phone, deal with it. Don't let it put you out of the way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the chance to be here. Help us to stay in the way. All of us, all the way. I thank you, Lord. It sure is wonderful to know you. You're a great God. You've assembled some of the finest cream of the crop I could ever imagine. I'm so humbled by the quality of students you've given us. Help them. Protect them. Help them to stay in the way. Some, Lord, laziness, free time is all they look forward to, and they need to be sober and diligent. Help them. Help us, Lord, to be careful. Don't let bitterness come in, get us out of the way. Don't let bad friends, finances, wrong focus. Pray you protect us from fornication. Lord, we may have no uh-ohs this summer. No someone, but may, Lord, we all come and do what God wants us to do. Be faithful to you until we get to see you and get to come get us. We look forward to that day. Bless, I pray, every one of our students. Help them as they travel, give them safety. Bless the graduates on Friday especially. May it just be a sweet time for their families and for those who have pushed them to this place and provoked them to persevere. Bless them in Jesus' name.